Here we go. It is hour three of the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network on a Thursday. Thanks for waking up with us live across the country from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. in the East. Coming up, we're going all in on college football this hour. First, we bring in the great Heather Dinich from ESPN to get her take on the upcoming season. Then in 20 minutes, we will look at the numbers with Douglas Farmer from Covers.com. And finally, best bets come your way at 8:40. Also, welcome in our final hour to our audience on Stadium. You can stream us on Bally Sports Live and the Bally Sports Live app, along with our friends on YouTube TV, DirecTV, and Amazon Prime as well. And as promised, we're going to get right to it and bring her in, Heather Dinich, the National College Football Reporter for ESPN. Heather, thanks for being with us. I think the last time I talked to you was, God, I don't know, it was ages ago, but it's always great seeing you on ESPN. And like everyone, I know you've been in on the Arch Manning hype. So where do you stand on the hype versus what we've actually seen?
What we've actually seen is Arch Manning against a bad Mississippi State team. We got to see him against a good Ohio State defense. And then I think everybody can start to make assessments on how good he might be this season. I mean, as far as the hype goes, having done this for literally decades, it's unmatched. And that's because of his last name, the pedigree, the genes, everything that goes with having the name Manning on the back of your jersey. But as far as how quickly he meets that is yet to be determined. And, you know, I talked to Steve Sarkisian this week about that, and he told me that fair expectations are just to go out there and not be superhuman, execute the offense, do what he does. He says there's no special meetings this week. Just go out there and play football.
All right, Heather. So when I saw that you were coming on our show, I got really excited because we have been talking to a bunch of college football people, and we always ask them about their opinion on the playoff. But most of these people are not as plugged in or nearly on the level that you are. You are certainly in the know when it comes to the movers and shakers of college football, to the point where I was a little nervous to ask you this question because maybe you know some things that are not up for public consumption just yet. But to put it vaguely, what can college football fans expect from the playoff over the next few seasons?
So in 2026 and beyond, SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey and Big Ten Commissioner Tony Petitti have made it very clear there is a playoff format in place, and it's exactly what it looks like now. 12 teams, 5 highest-ranked conference champions, top 4 ranked teams get the top 4 seeds and first-round byes. If they want to change it, those two gentlemen have to agree to that, and right now they're not on the same page. And most recently, the Big Ten has started to circulate a 24 or 28 team playoff format that caught a lot of people off guard, and a lot of people weren't happy that they were caught off guard about it. And the bottom line is this: they've got to agree to it. The Big Ten and the SEC have to agree to it. And the Big Ten wants automatic qualifiers. The reason for it is because there's some mistrust with the College Football Playoff Selection Committee. The Big Ten isn't convinced that the committee can accurately evaluate strength of schedule between a 3 or a 4 loss Big Ten team or SEC team and a 1 or a 2 loss Big 12 or ACC team that might not have played as difficult of a schedule.
Heather, when you look at the teams this season who are certainly going to make the playoff or have a direct path, one of those teams is clearly Penn State. How much pressure is on James Franklin, because we keep hearing this is the year, this is the year, this is the year?
It's the weight of the world on his shoulders, because he said in Las Vegas at Big Ten Media Days, this is the best personnel that I've ever had. And when you as a head coach come out and say that, you set the bar high. I have Penn State my preseason number one, and the reason for that is because when I do preseason rankings, I go by what I know on paper, and I know that Penn State has NFL talent all over the field. I think Drew Aller is going to increase his NFL draft stock because I think he has better wide receivers coming back, but I know he has one of the best running back tandems coming back in Nicholas Singleton, Catron Allen. And you don't come back to school and forego the NFL to lose at home to Oregon. It might happen, but you're not coming back if you're those guys to not contend for a national title. And, you know, James Franklin knows the numbers. He knows the expectations. He has said he's trying to change the narrative. But My gosh, I don't think people understand how much more difficult it is to win a national title in the 12-team college football playoff. What Ohio State did last year after losing to Michigan, in my mind, is underrated. To win four straight games, I don't care who you are, is really hard.
Absolutely. So you were talking about the teams that you know about with everything on paper, with returning guys. Who's the biggest wild card in college football? It could be a team, it could be a player, somebody with an extremely high ceiling, but also maybe there's a low floor there.
So immediately I go to Bill Belichick and North Carolina. Immediately.
Wow.
Because, I mean, I think they are the biggest mystery in college football because not even Belichick knows what he has with this roster. It's a complete overhaul. There's transfers all over the place. There's a new quarterback. There's unproven skill players. But the crazy thing is they've got one of the easiest schedules in the ACC. I want to say their overall schedule strength is about 70th in the country. So that's a team where you feel like this could go either way. I mean, you don't know. They could be contending for the ACC. They could be have a losing record. They could just be a mediocre bowl team. I don't know. And it's all eyes on Bill Belichick.
Talking with Heather Denich, the National College Football Reporter for ESPN. Find her on Twitter at CFBHeather. So I wanted to go back to the SEC for a moment, Heather, because I know Texas is getting all the attention. But are we sleeping on a team like Alabama because Nick Saban isn't there and because so much of the focus is on the Longhorns and Arch?
Yes, I think everyone is sleeping on just how competitive the SEC at the top is going to be in general. I mean, I know there's a lot of love for Texas, but the reality to me is this race is wide open. It's not just Alabama and Kalen DeBoer. It's Georgia. It's LSU. I mean, if LSU goes into Clemson and wins that game, they've got a first major step forward towards competing for the college football playoff. And I go back to what James Franklin said. Brian Kelly said it too. We've got a team that can contend for the national title. All right, Brian Kelly, you set the bar. So, you know, no one's talking about Georgia and Kirby Smart. I mean, they only played in the college football playoff last year. But yeah, Alabama is absolutely, in my mind, a college football playoff team. Again, on paper, they should be very good up front. And I think with Kalen DeBoer bringing in offensive coordinator Ryan Grubb, one of the secrets to DeBoer's success has been the staff continuity, the familiarity with those guys. They've worked together forever. And Ryan Grubb's also really good, too. So I think breaking in a new quarterback but having the talent around him puts Alabama in the college football playoffs this year.
I wanted to ask about Brian Kelly because we have the first game of the season coming up. And I think for most teams, like, there are big games, but they don't feel like make or break games. But for Brian Kelly and season openers, after some of these losses, you can feel the tension in the room. How much pressure is on Brian Kelly in this first game of the season against Clemson?
Well, let's make this clear. He's not on the hot seat, all right? People who are saying Brian Kelly's on the hot seat don't know that his buyout is a gazillion dollars. Now, if this were a catastrophic season, then maybe that conversation gets real. But there's no excuse for it to be a catastrophic season. And there's an enormous amount of pressure on him because the LSU fan base is putting it on him, right? And I mean, we've got former players on ESPN who are saying the exact same thing, that, you know, if he doesn't win that game, he's going to lose in the court of public opinion. But he's not going to lose his job. And the reality is, LSU has the 11th toughest schedule in the country. So if they come out of that Death Valley with a loss, there's plenty of opportunities to compensate for it, but there's also plenty of opportunities to lose another game or two.
Heather, outside of the Power Four conferences, is there a team that has your attention or you think could maybe by the end of the year be a team we're talking about?
Tonight, Boise State, South Florida.
Yeah.
You got to watch that game. This is a big deal because either one of those teams can win their respective conferences. The head-to-head result is going to be a factor on Selection Day if they do. UNLV is also a team to watch, even though they struggled a little bit early in a win in week zero. But watch Boise State tonight. I talked to Spencer Danielson, their head coach, and he told me, everybody looks at our team. He told his team this. He said, they think you can't be anything because we don't have Ashton Jeanty. And he's convinced that the best is yet to come for them. So that's a team I would keep an eye on. And he reminded his team that last year at this time, they were not in the top 25. But remember, the highest ranked Group of Five conference champion is in the playoff. But it's going to be harder for a team like Boise State to get one of those first round byes because it's a straight seeding model. So the committee's top four teams are going to get those top four seeds.
All right, I wanted to ask you, because you had said that Penn State is your preseason number one, but do you think they win the national championship? I don't think this is the same question, because I think a lot of people are on the same page as you, saying this is an extremely talented team, but people still have reservations about Penn State. So do you have them winning the national championship, or do you think it's somebody else?
I do, because I just kind of feel like you got to be consistent. But I do have reservations. I mean, let's be honest here. I've been doing this a long time. I've written the story before. James Franklin has a lot of talent. I mean, I remember when Olu Fashanu was up there up front for those guys, and I was like, this is going to be the running game. And Allen and Singleton took a step back that year. That was like two seasons ago. So, yes, I would say I'm cautiously optimistic, but for the sake of consistency, I do have them winning the national title right now. I have them going into Ohio State, winning that game. I think Jim Knowles, their defensive coordinator they hired from Ohio State, is going to be a bit of a secret weapon, even though I'm the one saying that. Penn State's not. They're like, I don't know about that. But I think he's going to help them.
Before we let you go, Heather, we got about 2.5 minutes here, but with Ohio State replacing both coordinators, I mean, it's different than in the pros because you have this influx of blue chippers that just replace the guys who left for the NFL. But how much does that affect how you look at a team when you're replacing a couple of big name coaches?
Well, it is significant. And, you know, I think the jury's still out on Matt Patricia, their defensive coordinator they hired from the NFL. We'll see what happens. But I kind of perked up a little bit when I talked to Steve Sarkisian this week about scouting Ohio State, and his perspective on it was, look, Ryan Day's fingerprints are always all over the offense, with all due respect to Chip Kelly, their former offensive coordinator, and Jim Knowles did a terrific job with that defense. So when Texas plays Ohio State, he's not expecting them to look philosophically different. It's a matter of how many wrinkles are in with the new guys. But, you know, realistically, I think I agree with Sark that they're not going to look that different. It's a matter of, especially with Patricia, because he came in from the outside, whereas OC was promoted. It's just a little bit different in terms of the buy-in and familiarity.
You can check out her excellent work on ESPN as the National College Football Reporter. It is Heather Denich. Heather, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Man, she knows her stuff. And that has me excited. You could hear the excitement in her voice. Like, just, you know, she's talking about Sark perking up. Like, you could hear her, like, ready for the season like so many of us are. And she has such great insight talking to the coaches. But, yeah. That's just all to say, like, I'm also excited. I've also had a Red Bull and coffee this morning, but I'm really pumped for college football.
I like how she gave us homework. Said, no, you need to watch Boise State and USF. You got to do it. So
do it.
If she says, because I have to watch
said.
It.
She's the expert. We have to do it. I mean, I was going to maybe watch Dateline, but nope. Boise State, USF it is. I mean, I was going to watch it no matter what.
I need to look and see who's the head coach at USF now. I don't even know. Like, isn't Gus Malzahn somewhere else? I used to follow, I think it was it UCF because of Gus Malzahn? Because I covered Auburn for a while. And, like, Gus Malzahn was the coach that I would interview all the time. But I have no idea where he is. So I need to do some research and see what's up.
Oh, I know. Malzahn Watch 2025. We'll figure it out. We'll figure out where he is. But I'm excited.
He's at Florida State.
He is?
He's the offensive coordinator at Florida State now.
Oh, well, okay. What happened to Florida State, by the way? I mean, they're fine. But, I mean, remember 2 years ago, got screwed out of the playoff, undefeated season, and, like, man, it's like falling off a cliff. It's crazy. But I'm going to watch Boise State. I have a little soft spot in my heart for the old Broncos, so I'll definitely be watching that at 5:30, which is great. Coming up next, we'll look at the college football season from a different perspective and take a gander at the numbers as we bring in Douglas Farmer from Covers.com. That is next on the Daily Tip, and it is here on the BetMGM Network.